banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom. Dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. This is the challenge of the Super Friends.
Yes, welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU FM and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. We are your hosts, Walter Duraglia and Chris Owen. And we're here. Chris actually is got some great news today. We have some very special guests, so I'm going to throw it over to Chris.
Yes, we do. You know, today we're very fortunate. We have some special guests with us today via phone, satellite phone, or some sort of phone. I'm not entirely too sure what's going on here. But we do have people here with us from the new Border Hounds comic book. We have Brimstone, who is the actor, wrestler, and all-around comic book superhero. And joined with him is are the other creators, Sajad and Marcello. Now, you'll have to correct me if I said your names wrong. Please, nice to have you with us, guys.
Thank you. The pleasure is all ours. Any radio show that has the Super Friends as their introduction is okay by me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Good for you.
So we're going to have you guys in with the whole show here. And what's going to be great is we're going to ask you guys some of your opinions and get us to know some of your insights in the comic books and what you guys like and all that kind of stuff. And but first things first, today is Wednesday, of course, which means it is New Comic Book Day. And it being New Comic Book Day means that we're going to highlight a few of the comic books. And as always, new this week is brought to you by the Red Lantern Anger Management. If you have limitless rage and wish to learn how to channel it into a powerful force of destruction, try Red Lantern Anger Management.
Thanks, Chris. Yes, today is Wednesday. And guys, I'm going to start the show off with announcing that Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 37 hits the stands today at your local comic shop. Now, everybody knows Buffy, Joss Whedon, the whole season 8 gone to comics rather than TV. This is the season 8 finale. Now, my question to you guys, especially you guys down in New York, Brimstone, is did Buffy... Buffy going from TV to comics, was it a success? Did they do the good thing here?
You know, I'm going to take this, I actually was a very big, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, a very big Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. I watched it religiously when I could, and, you know, the shows that I couldn't watch, I used to videotape and watch them once I got back into town. So I used to love the show. When it went to comic book, I think they lost a little bit, only because the characters, they brought the characters to life, the people who played them on the show, and I think it was a good rendition in the comic book, but I don't think that it really did the show, did as much justice to the story as the show did. Does that make sense?
You're right, though, but the thing is, I guess, for pure Buffy fans, and you know, you were one of them, and there was a lot of them, a second class medium. I said that wrong.
You really did. What are you trying to say?
Obviously, through a TV show, you can get a lot more in an hour than you can in a small comic book. But to Buffy fans, I think
it's more chill. It's been happening quite a bit. I think you've been noticing that in the comic book world, a lot of those underground hit shows have been going to comic book. I mean, another Joss Whedon phenomenon, Firefly, has its own comic book series. I think it's great. I'm not personally a Buffy fan, but I think it's, as long as people who were dedicated to the original show, who were influenced by the original show, actually work on the comic, and it's not, know, another one of these jumping the shark type of sessions.
Right.
It's great. I really think it's great because it's giving, you know, the old fans something, and it's also giving the, you know, a new generation of fans, you know, that never watched it when it was on TV, actually, for the first run. So I actually think that it's great what Buffy's doing. And from what I understand, Joss is really heavily involved.
Right. You know what? And I have to agree. The way I look at it, though, guys, too, is, and we've, Chris and I have discussed this before on this show. Take Star Wars, for example, and then Marvel had the Star Wars title. Well, between the movies, the comics, you know, they kept the flame. They kept the flame alive. So I believe season 9 has already been approved by Dark Horse. And, you know, trust me, I think, you know, the comics are keeping this property alive and out in the limelight. And before you know it, there's going to be a big Buffy movie and stuff. So I think that Dark Horse is doing great. I think that Whedon is doing a great job by having the product out on the market steadily. And really, Buffy is the easiest way. The comic book is the easiest way right now for him to do that. So
Absolutely. You don't have to deal with a $30 million budget every 2 weeks.
No, that's right.
Right. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to jump over to DC. And guys, I don't know how many Neil Adams fans are out there, but Batman Odyssey number 4 of 12, written by Neil Adams, drawn by Neil Adams, inked by Neil Adams. I think it might have even been pressed by Neil Adams. Who knows? My question is, I know. Yeah, he was working the press. I think he's driving the vans to deliver these things too. Is Neil Adams though passe? Everybody's Grant Morrison now. I mean, Chris Owen. I want to ask Chris. Chris, you know, you're a fan of the old Batman and the new Batman.
Well, you know, I think certainly, as you said, I am a fan of Neil Adams in general. I think he did a lot of great things. He certainly revitalized and revamped the character back in the 70s when we went from this campy Batman to a sort of a grim, grittier Batman. And then, of course, Neil Adams' work for DC in general with the Hard Traveling Heroes, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, did a great job. You know, I think Neil Adams, I don't think he's overrated in any way. I think he's done a lot of great work over the years. I don't know if what he has to say today is relevant or not. I don't know if what he's trying to get at is good. I don't know if he's as touch with today's times and with today's readership as he may have been at one point. I'm going to pass this over to Sajjad. What do you think about this? Hello?
Did we lose Sajjad?
Did we lose you?
Sajjad, go ahead.
Sajjad went to go mix a drink,
I think. He went to have a drink or something.
Right on, good work.
Brimstone, what do you think?
You know, I'm really not too familiar with his work. I mean, you're talking about Neil who did all the Batman series, right?
Yes, yes. Now, the gist is here. Sorry, Brimstone. The gist is here. DC's bringing back a guy that, say, 40 years ago had a great run and revolutionized the hero back then. And, you know, 40 years on, I don't know whether it's an homage to him or not, but they're saying, hey, we're going to give you a nice 12-part miniseries, do what you want with the character. And really, it's not resonating with the fans. And I guess my question is, can you take something, you know, can you take a creator from, you know, you're a creator. I mean, you're doing your book and stuff. Can you take somebody from... will they always be? Are people always creative, or did they lose touch? Has Neil Adams lost touch?
Well, I had a shot back on the line. Just to let you guys know.
Oh, fantastic! Okay.
What was that?
Sorry about that.
Oh, so we were just basically asking you. So, do you think that Neil Adams is as relevant today as he was back in the day? Or, I may have jumped the gun a little bit. Maybe are you guys familiar with Neil Adams' work even?
Somewhat. Oh, yeah, I mean, as a penciler myself, I mean, growing up, I used to look at his stuff as, you know, inspiring. So, I mean, as far as being out of touch, I don't think that's the case because, you know, without those guys like that, you know, paving the way, us today, you can't be where you're at without them. So you have to keep them in mind.
Right. Okay. It's true. You should keep it in mind. I agree. Okay. So, Walt, what else you got next for us?
All right, guys. I don't know. Marvel fans out there, rejoice. Chaos War number 1 hits the stands today at your local comic shop. Bigger than Infinity Gauntlet.
Infinity. I want to read Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. More cosmic than Annihilation. Marvel again, guys. Now, are you guys, first of all, are you guys Marvel fans, DC fans? Brimstone?
I am a mix between the two, but you know, I also like a lot of independent. So I like to say I'm a broad. I have a broad range of comics that I enjoy. So not either Marvel or DC. I'm everywhere.
Okay. You are a born diplomat.
Yeah, I'm a
friend. Right on. Well, you know what the thing with Marvel is? Whenever they come out with a kind of new war and flipping, you know, I don't know what war, they do have a lot of fans. And Chaos War number one hits the stands today at the return of Hercules. Now, right. Now, guys, Hercules. Now, what's your take on Hercules? When Hercules took over for the Incredible Hulk and it went to Incredible Hercules, I don't know if any of you read it. As a character, though, give us your take on Hercules.
I think Hercules is a ridiculous character in comic books, in my opinion, but that's just me.
Okay, hold on. Why would you say he's a ridiculous character? Let's expand on that a little bit. What, you know, I mean, Thor is like a Norse god. Hercules sort of like a Greek god. Greek god. Why is Hercules any worse than Thor would be?
You know, I don't know. Thor's just more interesting. Hercules is just boring.
Right on. Blame the writers.
Let's put it this way. If Brimstone was in the Marvel Universe and Hercules wanted to approach him to go one-on-one, Brimstone would just turn his head and walk away. I wouldn't waste my time with Hercules. That's how pathetic I think he is.
Wow.
Good for you. Well, that's trash talk if I ever heard it. I'm talking. You're going to get a phone call from Herc's agent soon.
I hope he's not listening right now. That's what I'm
Who's Herc's
for.
Agent? It's that little guy, right? Newt. Hey, Brimstone. Herc. Brimstone wants a fight. All right, guys, listen, that's all for new this week. We have a busy show. We want to get to you guys and your projects. So please, as always, head into your local comic store today.
I'm sorry, go right ahead.
And obviously peruse the new this week shelf and please sample some.
Okay, so as always, I do have a little bit of music going on here all set up for you. And, you know, as I've said before in the past, I am a bit of a Spidey fan. So let's just listen to a bit of that crazy Spidey bongo beat.
Of course, was Tito Puentes in the orchestra doing a great take on Spider-Man. And listen, that takes us in, Chris, as always, you pick the songs that are great segues. And that is a great segue into industry news, which is the next feature of the show.
Now, how is that a great segue? Because really, yeah, I'm not really too sure.
I'm not sure either, but it is a great
okay,
segue.
I believe
and listen,
I believe
we're lucky enough to have a sponsor for Industry News today, and
yeah,
it is.
Really?
Industry News is brought to you by Toshi's Station. We have all your power converter needs at Toshi's Station.
Oh, my God.
Serving Tatooine for over 100 years. So please support Toshi Station.
On behalf of the Toshi Station, I should probably just correct
you. Oh, did I screw that up?
Yeah, the Toshi Power Station. Yeah,
oops.
Yeah. That's all right.
All right, guys.
Wait, hold on. Did I hear an "Oh my God" from Brimstone?
Yeah. No, you heard an "Oh my God" from Marcello.
Oh, sorry.
Probably, you know, I'm a Star Wars geek, and probably that has to be the single. You know. Oh, that is what. Oh, okay. I just know. I'm gonna go to the Power Converters because I'm telling you, no, that's your Star Wars.
Yes. All right. Wow. Okay. Moving on. Guys, we are moving on. Hey, listen, guys. We're moving on to.
What's the Toshi Station?
The Toshi. Oh, you don't know what a Toshi Station?
I'm not a Star Wars geek. I'm sorry.
So, Marcello, fill him in, buddy.
Well, apparently, I think it's the only gay bar in the Star Wars.
Yes! Yes.
Is that where you go to get the power converters?
Yes.
I have to go to Toshi Station to get a power converter. Oh, my God, I'm going to get a
yes. Yes. The Tower of Power Special.
All right.
Okay, guys, let's leave this before we get sued or something. All right, listen, we're on to the most popular part of our show. And as I said before, once Chris and I got an email saying, hey, guys, we love your industry news, and it officially became the most popular part of our show. So I'm going to start with news on the Wonder Woman TV show. Apparently, according to Hollywood Reporter, they're looking to make a new Wonder Woman TV show. Guys, anybody, come in with a take on this.
Well, they've been trying to make a Wonder Woman movie for years. That's been on, you know, the back burner for Hollywood for years. I mean, first we heard news that, you know, Sandra Bullock was going to be the next Wonder Woman, and then it died for a while. And then for a couple of months now, there have been rumors that Megan Fox was going to be Wonder Woman. So, I mean, come on, the horse is already dead. Stop kicking it. I mean, do something or not.
Okay, so... So hold on, I got to ask you guys, okay, one at a time, first Brimstone, then Marcello, then Sajjad, I got to know, who would you pick as the Wonder Woman, if you could pick any actress out there, who would you want to play Wonder Woman? Brimstone.
And nobody's allowed to say Brad Pitt or something like that.
I said Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless, nice, okay, next.
Well, I'm going to say Betty White.
Yes!
I just
want to
see her in the
bustier,
man.
Right on. Yeah, you want her to tie you up, don't you? I know it.
I like that pick.
Okay, and finally?
Christina Applegate.
Interesting
choice.
Oh,
I like it.
All right.
I like it. Well, apparently, from what I'm reading on the net, Joss Whedon actually, he had a script and he had an origin for Wonder Woman, and the studio refused it. They axed it and said, no, we don't like this. And I guess, you know, the internet vibe is, you know, the streams on the internet are saying, hey, if somebody can write a female skewed character, it's Joss Whedon, yeah, right? And so I don't know exactly where the studios are going with this. But now the next question is, though, guys, today, is Wonder Woman like a viable character? And hold on, let me clarify. Like, Wonder Woman has always been presented by DC as part of the trifecta, part of the Trinity, part of, like, the big three, you know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. But when you look at sales of DC stuff, Wonder Woman is nowhere to be seen, really. Is she still... I know she survived as a old comic book guy. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman were the only three that survived the 1950s comic code purges, and everything else got canceled, Flash, Hawkman, you name it. Wonder Woman was one of the three titles that survived from the 40s right up till now. But today, guys, today, is Wonder Woman still popular enough to have, I don't know, a hit TV show? Brimstone, please, first.
I believe that Wonder Woman is. I think that if she's pushed and promoted the proper way, just like in pro wrestling, I mean, look, hey, the Iron Sheik hasn't wrestled in God knows how many years, but if Vince McMahon took him in and they gave him a big push, he'd be huge again. So, you know, it's the same concept with comics, and Wonder Woman is an iconic name, so there should be no reason that she wouldn't be able to be a viable source of income.
So are you saying basically it's all about promotion, that as long as they're promoted well enough and enough in general, that they can become a viable character, a viable franchise?
I'm talking about character and franchise. I'm not talking about the story. A viable franchise, yes. Now, of course, they have to have somebody who's going to do the story justice. So, right. You know, that's a whole new ball game right there.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, Batman has had successful movies. Superman has had successful movies. Wonder Woman had a TV show in the 70s, but really since then hasn't had anything going on, you know. So is this something that we really need in order to jumpstart the franchise again?
Well, you know what it is? It's just that it's the male-dominated world. And you know, that's why Wonder Woman kind of got the shaft.
Hello! Careful.
Hey, this is a family show.
Family show, guys.
I was clean.
All right. Hey, guys. No, the thing that intrigued me reading this is some guy named David E. Kelly, who produced or helped put out stories like Ally McBeal, Boston Legal, and The Practice, has been the guy that they're slating to produce and write some of this stuff. And you know, maybe they're going to turn, you know, Wonder Woman into a courtroom drama.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yes.
And then they can have, like, the She-Hulk as well in there.
Let me ask you guys something. Remember that when Smallville first came out on the WB, everybody said it was going to fail because the last Superman movie tanked at the box office, and they said that a modern Dawson's Creek take on Superman would never hold. What season is Smallville in now?
Yeah, it's like, what, 9 or something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brimstone is absolutely right. It's promotion, but it's also finding the right people that can make the story work to the audience.
For sure. I completely agree.
I still think that to close that one off, a courtroom drama might be good because that truth lasso.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
Be good, you know,
instead of putting their hand on the Bible, they could just get the lasso of truth around them.
They can revisit the OJ trial and say, OJ. All right, listen. All right,
Wait. Before we end industry news here, I think
no, we're not. We have more. We have more industry news.
Sorry.
One more story, guys. One more story.
I got something to talk about too.
All right, guys. I don't know if you read San Diego, California.
Have you read San Diego? Is that what you're saying?
No, San Diego, California has solidified the San Diego Comic-Con. I guess they've reached an agreement with the promoters to host the show through the 2015 show.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if you guys are aware that obviously the show can basically hold 125,000 attendants, and that's all San Diego, really, the facilities in that city can hold. And now, you know, people were talking Los Angeles, Anaheim, Vegas, because they can hold 200,000-300,000 delegates or whatever. But San Diego has stepped up to the plate, offered some money, and signed the show through 2015. Now, my first question is, have any of you guys been to the San Diego Con?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
And what did you think of it when you went there?
Massive.
Like, did you have problems getting in, or did you use your celebrity status to help you get in?
Yeah, I mean, I signed there, so it was a little different, but it was massive.
Cool.
Now, hold on. Now, San Diego, like, is the show too big for San Diego? I mean, you were down there, you were at a hotel, you knew where fans were coming from. I'm sure you got a vibe from people down there and stuff. Is the show too big for I won't say small town, because obviously San Diego is a big town, but for a smaller place like San Diego, is the show too big for there?
I think Comic-Con has grown by
by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I agree.
I was at Comic-Con years ago when, you know, it was big, but it was more a comic book type of, you know, Star Trek convention, comic book convention.
Right.
Now it's not that anymore. Now Comic-Con is a staple for sci-fi, for video games, for comic books. It's grown by leaps and bounds. And if it keeps growing at the rate that it's going, yeah, it's going to need a bigger facility. I mean, look at E3, when E3 really was big. I mean, they were bursting out the seams, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with what you're saying, because, I mean, years ago, Comic-Con was really comic book convention, and now it's become media. Now it's become a media event. I mean, even I remember when this TV series Lost first premiered. It actually had its first premiere before it aired on TV. It was shown at Comic-Con before anything else. So it's
that tells you exactly that, you know, now Comic-Con, which is really cool for comic book guys like us.
Yeah.
Now that it's really really brought into the spotlight. But you know, in a way, it kind of took away from us.
Right, you know, you're absolutely right, and that's a very good point. It at the same time, it validated what we were doing, but it also took away from the hominess that we have as a comic book.
Well, it's almost not a comic book show anymore. I was at Chris and I were both at the Fan Expo, which is the Toronto, Ontario big Comic Con, which I think behind San Diego and New York is the largest one in North America. And I was talking to one of your guys, a U.S. dealer down from Chicago, actually, and he said at the Comic-Con, if you can't stand the crowds, if you're just claustrophobic and you just want to get away, go into the vintage comic section. That's what he said.
Really? No, he's absolutely right.
Yeah, because there's no, it's crickets down there. So
they really honestly shouldn't call it Comic-Con.
Yeah. So you're. So what you guys are saying is basically Comic-Con, and I won't put the words in your mouth, but from what the sounds of it is, Comic-Con maybe has made a mistake by caving into San Diego. I think San Diego has done well, the city, by keeping Comic-Con through 2015. But Comic-Con, it sounds like this thing is bigger and it could have grown more in place like Los Angeles or San Diego.
Well,
would it really? Comic-Con or whatever the incarnation of it is moves to somewhere, Las Vegas and everything like that, and maybe something else that's a real comic book convention takes the place of that.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that Comic-Con itself should move. They should probably call it something else or start to call it something else. Call it, I don't know, Comic and Media Con or something like that, and move it to Vegas. Have it so that you can have 250,000 people attend it. And I mean, I'm sure there are lots of Las Vegas's quote unquote nightlife that would be more than happy to get their claws on all the comic book fans out there, and really just call it something else other than Comic-Con.
Cha-ching!
One great thing about it being in Vegas, they won't be able to tell the LARPers and the cosplay people from the strippers. So,
yes,
very true. It's very true.
I like it. All right, guys, listen. Hey, we're going to put industry news to bed.
Hold on.
Chris has another. I'm sorry.
Just announced recently. I don't know if it was today or yesterday or perhaps it could have even been on the weekend. But I don't know if you guys in the Brimstone crowd there, if you guys are fans at all of video games, but our Batman Arkham Asylum video game just announced. We always knew there was a sequel coming out, but now there is a trailer online. And it's now become, they're talking about Arkham Asylum, and now it's now Arkham the City. It's no longer Arkham, it's the asylum itself. They have a big trailer, and of course it looks like it's all the same guys from the Arkham Asylum video game, and it's sort of a sequel to the very, very hugely popular video game that came out last year, and it looks like it's going to be coming out in November of 2011. Now, did any of you guys ever get a chance to play the Batman Arkham Asylum video game?
I think the jobs are... big gamer here, so John.
Yeah, I actually just bought the game, so I'm actually playing it.
Right now, he's playing it right now.
So you're saying they came up with another one, Arkham City?
You know what they call it? It's not Arkham the City or Arkham the Town, or I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's like basically now they're taking. It looks like Joker's actually taking over Gotham. and he's escaped Arkham Asylum once again, of course. But now, instead of it just being to the confines of Arkham Asylum, it's going to be basically the entire city of Gotham that he's sort of taking control of. And already I've seen images of the Joker and Harley Quinn, so we know that they're going to be back again. So it looks like it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, next to Commodore 64's Revenge of the Batman, Revenge of the Joker, is the Batman, best Batman game ever.
Commodore's Batman, Revenge of the Joker. I love it.
Yes. Well, you know. Well, you know what, guys? It does prove, and Chris and I talk about this a lot at the show, it does prove the reach of comic books. Comic books. Come on, look at all the movies coming out. We're talking about San Diego Comic-Con. We're talking about this video game. Hey, comic books are a great medium. And, guys, we're going to end industry news right there because we want to get to the main feature of the show, which is you guys. And Chris is going to take us in through a musical interlude. And,
yes. Well, you know what? I thought, you know, I know I like to play this a lot, and you can probably guess what's coming up here. But, you know what? Seeing as we do have special guests on the show today, I thought it was very apropos that we have our favorite song, of course. And for those of you who are avid listeners out there, you know what's coming up. It is, of course, the Aquaman song.
Aquaman.
My favorite. Of course, that is performed by the YMCA Boys Choir.
Now, hold on. Now, guys, I got to ask you. I know you're avid listeners of the show. What do you think of the Aquaman song?
Wow.
You know, I'll never get that 5 minutes of my life back.
You know, funny thing about that, I think it was only a minute and a half, but I understand what you're saying. All right. Well, let's continue on with our feature of the show.
And hold on. We have a sponsor. Stop the presses. We have a sponsor for the feature of the show, and this feature is brought to you by Mephisto, Lord of Darkness and Ruler of Hell. now giving top rates for your old unwanted soul. If you have a spare soul laying around the house, why not bring it into Mephisto and make some cash?
Well, you know, that is an excellent segue into our feature of the show, which is, of course, all about Brimstone and, of course, his gang of
soulless
No, but listen, we are talking today to our wonderful guests here, and they are here to talk to us about Border Hounds, their new comic coming out. And it's all we've got Brimstone and Marcello and Sajjad here. And I'm probably mispronouncing all of your names, but, you know, bear with me here. And so, listen, Walt has something to say here. Hold on.
All right. First of all, guys, I want to know, first of all, Brimstone, let's start here. Give us a rundown on what Border Hounds is. What's this project all about?
What the Border Hounds? It's Brimstone and the Border Hounds. It's basically, what I like to say, it's, what is life like? What is life really like after you die? You know, that's the whole concept of the entire universe. Marcello actually does an amazing job of telling what the book is all about, though. So go ahead, March.
Well, Brim is actually right. We've taken the concept of the whole afterlife underworld comic book and turned it on its end and really faced the question, you know, what happens? What is our life really? What are we actually doing in life? And what happens to us after our life ends? And we kind of created a whole universe that deals with all those types of issues. And without giving it too much away, Brimstone and the Border Hounds, the characters themselves, are the people that are meant to keep you in that afterlife and make sure that you don't run away or you don't, you know, end up in the wrong place.
Right. So, you guys were nice enough to send us an e-file copy of it over, and I read it, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the artwork. I thought it was great, and I thought the writing was great, and I thought everything about it was really cool. And so basically what I'm getting at is I thought the story was interesting in the fact that, I guess, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's part of the storyline is if somebody kind of escapes or a bunch of people escape, there's sort of like a breach in the walls, and basically the character of Brimstone has to kind of go out and find these guys. Am I on the right track here?
You are on the right track. It's basically, think of, you know, after you die, that you know, whatever your life as you know it was basically, you know, being set up so that after you die, you go to work at your real job. So think of it as the life that you have now is kind of like your weekend job, and after you die, you really go into your real career. And all these different afterlives out there all compete with each other in a big, you know, very corporate style for the best and the brightest and the most professional. So they're all trying to fight each other for us and
right,
for everyone that exists. And, you know, like, and it's the trading and dealing in these, you know, commodity in this workforce is like the number one business. So, you know, along with that comes, you know, crime and the black market operation and corporate espionage. And what the Border Hounds are whenever there is a situation where those souls escape or get stolen or get transferred or rebel, it's up to the Border Hounds to get them back, put them in their place. They're kind of like bounty hunters in a way.
Excellent.
And Brimstone and his team lead one of the biggest and the baddest in one of the afterlives that we know as hell.
All right. That's great. Now, hey, listen, I think we got a bit of ahead of ourselves. Why don't you please tell me, I'm interested in how you three got together now. Whose premise was it? Who contacted who? How did that all start?
You know, Marcello and I have been good friends for about 15 years now, and we came up in professional wrestling together. And, you know, I had, you know, ideas of comic books and, you know, dreams of grandeur, Brimstone being a comic book character eventually. And, you know, it was always an idea in the back of my head. And I had sent out a couple of ideas to a couple of different artists, one of them being Jacob Shabbat from Skullboy Army. I'm sure you guys are familiar with him.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
He,
What was that?
We were just agreeing with you, yes.
Oh, okay. Fantastic artist. He actually shot me over the first actual sketch of Brimstone as a comic book character. And, you know, obviously he was working with Dark Horse at the time or whoever he was with then. And I said this would be a fantastic comic book. So I gave Marcello a call and I asked him, what do you think of this? You know, taking our professional wrestling characters and using our personas. Not you know, us in the wrestling ring fighting zombies, as we know other comics do. However, our actual personas, taking them and using the backgrounds of the personas and making a comic book out of it. So Marcello loved the idea. We went, we sat down in this cramped little diner, and a coffee that might have taken an hour wound up taking about 4 or 5 hours, where we literally came up with the whole story arc for the entire Brimstone and the Border Hounds universe. Following that, obviously, after we came up with the general idea of what we were going to, you know, do, we had to find an artist and a team. So, again, scoured the internet. It was ridiculous how many people we looked at and we spoke with, and we came upon Sejad, who was literally a needle in a haystack, And not to toot our own horn or pat him on the back, but it's the truth. I mean, he's one of the best untapped, you know, artists in the industry. And we have him. We've had him for many years now that we've been working together and designing what is now known as the Border Hounds universe and what we're looking to let the world know. That's, the Border Hounds are here, you know?
That's awesome. I think it's fantastic. And certainly I've seen the artwork, and it is great.
Yeah, that is good work, yeah. Sejad.
And you guys should be really happy to be able to have him him along board with you, because clearly he's not one of those fan fiction guys that you would see on eBay or something like that. Clearly he has a lot of talent that is untapped by you guys.
Now, guys, we're going to mention this a few times, but I think we should intermittently mention through the interview. Give us some addresses. Give us some places people can go to check out the work and check out or maybe to pre-order and do stuff like that. Are there any email? Sorry, are there any website addresses people should visit?
Absolutely. Our official website is www.theborderhounds.com. You could go right onto our website. There's a buy now button right there. But before you buy it, look around the website. See if it's for you. You know, check us out. Read about what we have. We have an overview there. You know, read the reviews. We have a fully informational website that everybody could take a look at. And we're confident that if you do check it out and you do look over the website, that you're going to want to order it. So please check us out. And again, www.theborderhounds.com. You can also link to us on Facebook. You can like us there, hopefully, in MySpace and Twitter, you know, WeTwat. So, yeah, we're there.
You're there and everywhere.
Cool. Well, you know, it's one of the interesting things I thought about the comic was so if you don't mind just talking about the comic for a minute here, the main character you have written as being half human and half demon. Now, what was the sort of idea of getting this together, and where did you come up with that idea?
Go ahead, Mark.
The idea is that we kind of came up with the whole concept of what the afterlife would be, and kind of took Brimstone's persona and said, well, if Brimstone was a person that existed in this afterlife, where would he come from? It was a very organic development process. And we figured, okay, so he's got all the traits of being human, but we want him to, you know, kick some serious butt, too. So why don't we did the very traditional thing and we just cut him in half. You know, we made him half human and half demon.
Right, right, okay.
The comic book progresses, and a lot of people say, oh, that's so cliche, you know, look how many other comic book characters are out there are, you know, half human, half vampire, half human, half alien. And we took a lot of flack for people saying it's cliche, but when we developed the backstory, and we actually, we will show people as the series progresses, where Brimstone came from, it's going to make a lot of sense. It's going to really tie into the story. I don't want to give too much away. But let's just say we're doing something that hasn't been done with any of these hybridized characters.
Cool.
And
cool.
So
Yes, yes.
Well,
no, save it. No spoilers.
Okay, no spoilers.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm just going to, again, work backwards a bit. I'll keep going against the stream here. Brimstone, I've read the bio here, and very interesting stuff here. Now you have a lot of things going on. You have a clothing line going on. Tell me a little bit about that, please.
I've been working on, just as the border has been moving, I try to really brand my name, and outside of just professional wrestling, I act, I do a lot of charity work, and I do a lot of different projects. So, the Brimwear clothing line is a line that we've been working on for a while. Matter of fact, what I might wind up doing is, with this line, we might wind up bringing in some more of the Border Hounds type style artwork with Sejad and our colorist Diago, who have amazing minds to create and creations. So, I've been dealing with a lot of different tattoo artists and so forth, just to kind of come up with something different. It's another one of those things where, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And when it's ready to launch, it'll launch. It's another thing that I've been working on, the Brimwear clothing line.
Excellent. And now, tied into that, you also have, through the Border Hounds, the Xbox video game. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yes. The Brimstone and the Border Hounds video game is in production by SGN Games. It's going to be for the Xbox Live, as well as they're working on the PS3, which will be a downloadable game for the systems, and we're very excited about that. Sejad, didn't you just send over the landscapes and such for them?
Yeah, we've been working on the set designs and the character designs, and it's a pretty intensive process, but we've been working with SGN, and they've been great. And it's going to be a first-person shooter game. You're pretty much going to be as a border hound going through collecting souls, and hijinks ensues.
Cool. That sounds awesome. You know what? I love first-person shooters. As much as I love the Batman Arkham Asylum game, I do love first-person shooters with, Halo and all those other kinds of great, awesome games. But, I'm looking forward to playing and being a border hound, so I can go and collect some souls.
Hey, you guys have to send us some links to this border hound video game.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
I haven't played a game since Pong, but I think I'm going to like this.
Okay, just send it to me, because I actually enjoy video games. I'm like my decrepit old host here, co-host, or whatever you want to call him. He hasn't played a game since Space Invaders, Pong, and
Asteroids.
Asteroids, yeah.
Hey, guys, the from the creative process point of view, and you have this is a great property you guys have started. Where did the ideas come from? I guess my point is maybe not the ideas, but where does the inspiration from this come from? I'll start with Brimstone.
The inspiration comes. I mean, look, the characters in the comic are loosely based off. Real life characters that Marcello and I know and are close with, and the characters themselves are, they're all different. They all have different traits. They all have different qualities that we're either going to love or we're going to hate. You know what I'm saying? They all have to invoke something, and it's tough because each character is a different influence for each character. So, it would be too difficult, to kind of go into each and every one. What do you think, March?
Well, I think he's right. I mean, we took a lot of guys that we came up with in professional wrestling and said, hey, his persona would really make a great character. But then we kind of mishmashed along with that. We created a lot of side characters. But mostly I'd have to say that the main influence for the main characters come from actual persons that we know. I mean, I can tell you for a fact that the character of Detective Altar resembles a certain member of our group. I don't know which one that is. And, of course, the character of Brimstone obviously resembles me. So, with muscles and all and everything like that, my long flowing hair and my huge pecs.
Now, you guys have, I'm not entirely too sure of how to pronounce his name. It's is it Chavez Raul in the character? Is that how you say the name's character? The character's name?
Yeah.
Now
Chavez Raul is actually based on someone that is a near and dear friend of ours, and so far as I've seen, he's one of people's favorites. People have been asking us, "Oh, we want to see more Chavez. We want to see more Chavez." And you will.
And now is he like? Now I was reading it, and he seems to be some sort of like DJ of hell. Is that am I right here? Or
describe it like I describe it. Yeah, he's a DJ, but I describe him a lot like, you guys seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show? You remember the old librarian who narrates the Rocky Horror Picture?
Yeah.
That's kind of him, but really a lot cooler and a lot more interactive in the world. But he's basically the voice of hell.
Okay.
Narrator, he's your best friend, he's your worst nightmare, and he's your wedding DJ, I guess. That's a good way to say.
Well, I guess what I'm kind of wondering here is he like the Don Pardo of hell? Is that he's like the announcer kind of thing?
I want to know about Don Pardo. I was probably going to say not Don Pardo. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. But the guy used to announce The Price is Right.
Oh, right.
That's Don Pardo, isn't it?
No, it wasn't Don Pardo.
Don Pardo.
Now you said that there are some resemblances to some of the people that are that are there. Now, is there any chance of having some resemblances to a couple of comic book radio show hosts in your comic, like who can kind of be there and have a weekly radio show host there or get a show?
Here's what you do. I'll give you a bank account number and a routing number. And tomorrow, if another zero gets added onto that, sure, you can have your own comic book.
These guys are good, Chris.
So what we're all looking to do is eventually what we're going to wind up doing is for all the people that gave back to us and helped us out to get to where we need to be with the comic, which obviously you guys are included in. We're going to wind up doing, one of the Weeper wagons. It's just going to have the faces that actually are images of all the different people that have helped us out along the way.
Oh, well, that's good. So Walt and I get to be one of the crying guys in the background.
Yes. you will die a second death, but it's okay. You're in a comic.
Hey, as long as they kill.
Your death is very dignified. We'll make sure you'll be in a large room filled with tons of naked women.
Right, guys, listen, all I ask is that they kill me last. Remember when I promised to kill you last? I lied.
Can you pull that off?
I'm good with the room with the naked women or whatever it was you said.
Right.
I'm good with that, too.
Right, hey, guys, remind us again, please, where we can find your information and where we can go to your websites, please.
Hey, John. It is www.theborderhounds.com. Check us out on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, and you can find all the information there, bios, character bios. You can purchase the book. A cool little feature we're doing now is if you purchase the book and make a little contribution, one of the options we can actually turn you, I personally will turn you into a border hound along with one of our border hound characters and send you a big artwork piece for you with along with the book.
Oh, that's scary.
That is cool. That's scary stuff.
Hey, what's the release date, guys? What's the planned release date?
The release date, which is perfect for Brimstone and the Border Hounds, is Halloween, October 31st.
Yes.
2010 is the dawn of a new era. It is the Brimstone and the Border Hounds, Another Cold Day, issue 1 will be released. And for any of the fans in the tri-state area, we have a special announcement that on October 30th, you're going to be making a pre-launch signing party over at Borders Books in Westbury, New York, on Long Island. If you hit up our website, you can get all the information on that. I believe Borders is going to be putting it up on their website as well, and the comic book will be available. And we're hoping that Sid Jod's going to come join us as well. It's going to be Marcello, myself, and hopefully Sid Jod. We can make that happen. Yeah.
So what are the chances of having you guys come up to Canada sometime soon to help promote this book?
Hey, if you guys buy the beer, I'm there.
Yes.
Can you handle the beer? That's the next question.
We have real beer up here. I'm just kidding. You guys got good beer.
No. You Canada. Hey, any country that puts a large horned animal on their beer is okay.
Hey, any country that has a beaver on their nickel is pretty good in my mind, I'm telling you.
Oh yeah.
All right.
We're basically we'll be anywhere and everywhere that that you know welcomes us. You know, we work with small conventions, large conventions, comic book stores, bookstores. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to come around somewhere in Canada sometime soon. So
now,
if you have any ideas for us, please definitely let me know.
Well, we definitely want to have you guys up next year at the Fan Expo. I think that would be a great fit for you guys. Now, are you guys going to be attending or even in person the big New York show this coming weekend?
New York Comic Con at the Javits Center?
Yes, sir.
Well, to be honest with you, we were actually supposed to be signing there. We're not exactly sure if we're still going to be able to make it. We were going to be doing a special appearance in the booth with, you're familiar with Back to the Future's DeLorean?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So we were going to be making an appearance in the DeLorean and Batmobile booth.
Nice.
To come down and do it. We're just trying to see if we can make it happen. The issue was is that we weren't sure if we were going to have the issue ready to go for October, and we wanted to, you know, and obviously you have to know well in advance whether or not you're going to be there. And I personally was not planning on signing there this year because of other things going on. So, you know, if we can make it in this weekend, we will. Otherwise, you know, we'll see it the next round.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I got to say, we are running out of time here.
No, come on, Chris, an hour already?
I know. Can you believe it? Guys, this has already been an hour show. Can you even believe that it's been an hour?
No, after that Aquaman song, I could believe it was 3 days.
3 days. Hey. I think they've grown a beard.
Well, listen, guys, we really, really appreciate you having you guys on the show today. One more time for our listening audience, where can they find more information about you guys? What is the website?
Well, for everybody out there, if you want to check us out, please visit www.theborderhounds.com. You can find out all of our information. You can pre-order the comic book. You can check out some videos, download some images. And you can also hit us up on Facebook, on MySpace, on Twitter, and YouTube. Now you can get all your information and support us if you'd like.
Sounds great. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys to just hold on the line here for a few seconds, but I am going to sign off. But once again, we're running out of time here. Just stay in the lines for a second, guys, though. But you know what? Walt, once again, our show is over. If any of our fans do have any comments or questions, please let us know. You can email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bbcomics.com. Walter, any last thoughts for the day?
Guys, see everyone next week. Enjoy the week.
Thanks a lot, guys. And go out and support your local comic book retailer. Have yourself a great day.